on this fifth Sunday of Pascha, which is dedicated to the Samaritan woman, we find his disciples being surprised that our Lord was speaking to her. And the Samaritan woman herself was surprised that he was speaking to her. For it says that the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. The Samaritans were basically Jewish heretics. They didn't accept the whole Old Testament, only the first five books of the Old Testament. They believed that the proper place to worship was on Mount Gerizim and not in Jerusalem. But I'm not going to talk about the Samaritans, nor am I going to say anything more except that ending of the gospel where he says, "Do you see the fields are already white unto harvest?" And this is as the Samaritans are coming from town, and they wore white. So he was talking about the people. What I want to focus on, again, is just one verse in that long gospel where Jesus told the Samaritan woman, whose name, according to Holy Tradition, was Fotini, Svetlana in Slavic languages, or Luminitsa in Romanian, Lucia in Latin, Lucy in English. All these words begin with the meaning light. But he talks to her when she asks him, is the proper place to worship here on this mountain or in Jerusalem? And he tells her, the time is coming when neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem will true worshipers worship the Father. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Most of what I'm going to share comes from St. Ignatius Brianchaninov, a great spiritual figure of the 19th century, very dear to anyone who's read his works. If God desires to have such worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth, then it is obvious that he will receive only such worshipers and servants, and they only are truly pleasing to him. This teaching of Christ was imparted to us by the Son of God himself. And as Orthodox Christians, we accept the all-holy teaching of Christ and believe in it with all our love. In order to follow him carefully, let's look at what it means to worship God, the Father, in spirit and in truth. Truth is our Lord Jesus Christ, as he testifies of himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. The truth is the word of God. In the Gospel of John, where our Lord prays on the eve of his passion, and he's praying for his disciples and followers, he's praying to his Father and says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your logos is truth, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Your Son is truth. This word, logos, was pre-eternally in God before the creation of the cosmos. This logos was pronounced by God and to God. This word is God. This word is the creator of everything that exists, both visible and invisible. As we hear in the Gospel of John and St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, and also in our own symbol of faith, the creed that we say every Sunday, through whom all things were made. This word, this logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Gospel of John tells us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, says the evangelist John. The Son of God, the Word of God, the Logos of God, confessed God before people and fully manifested God to the people. The Son of God showed people the truth that was incomprehensible to them, having irrefutably witnessed to it and impressed it upon them by abundantly bestowing divine grace. As we hear in the Gospel of John, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This means that Jesus Christ brought not some more or less detailed and clear understanding of grace and truth, but grace itself and truth itself, essentially bestowed upon people and instilled in people. In the second epistle of St. Apostle Peter, we hear that we've all been made partakers of the divine nature. Truth has a characteristic spirit. This spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And when our Lord spoke of the coming Pentecost and the descent of the Holy Spirit, he said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." It is the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of the Son, as we hear in St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" As inseparably close to the Son, as comprising together with the Father and the Son, one undivided and unmingled divine essence of the Holy Trinity. Accepting the truth, we also accept the Holy Spirit. And that is why the all-holy truth says of himself that he will send the Holy Spirit from the Father to his disciples. Naturally, the Holy Spirit of truth will be present where holy truth acts and will leave the effect of its action. Where the Holy Spirit works, there will be an abundant manifestation of truth, as the Lord also said to his disciples. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Describing the wondrous relationship of the divine word, the Logos, to the divine Spirit, the Lord said of the Spirit, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine." If you read in the Gospel of John, the Spirit shows and manifests the Son, whose nature he shares. The Holy Spirit spiritually forms the true Christian and transforms him into a dwelling place of God. For as St. Paul writes in Ephesians, "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." He represents Christ and instills him in the inner person. As we hear in Ephesians, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." He makes people God's children by adoption, making them like unto Christ, establishing Christ-like qualities in them. People who have been made children of God by adoption turn to him in their prayers as to their Father, because the Holy Spirit very clearly and tangibly witnesses to the spirit of a person renewed by him concerning that person's union with God and his adoption by God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, St. Paul writes in Romans. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, as St. Paul writes in Galatians. Such worshipers are recognized as true worshipers of God. Such worshipers who worship God in spirit and in truth seek and receive God. There is no true knowledge of God outside of true Christianity, and no true service to God. Our Lord said in the Gospel of John, no one comes to the Father except through me. In the first epistle of John, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And in the Gospel of John, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. It's impossible to approach God truly or to enter into any kind of true communion with him in any other way than through our Lord Jesus Christ, the only true intermediary, intercessor, and means of communion between God and man. There is no true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without the mediation of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he says in Romans, he is not his. There is no true virtue outside of Christianity that is worthy of heaven. St. Mark the Ascetic in the Philokalia writes, nothing good can be believed in or acted upon unless it is of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Natural human good works, which proceed from our fallen human nature, are unworthy of God, for in them goodness is mixed with evil. Even our Lord at one point says, if you, being evil, know how to give what is good to your children, it's mixed, it's tainted without Christ. Our fallen human nature tends to glorify our own good works. But such self-praise shows a blindness inspired by vainglory and pride. God wasn't impressed by the Pharisee bragging about his virtues, tithing and fasting twice a week. He was moved by the incense of the tax collector's true humility. That is why the Lord commands fallen mankind to deny its nature. For man is blind to the truth and unaware and not truly admitting of his own sinfulness. For the sake of salvation, we must renounce sin, which acts as a barrier to God's grace in our life, and serve God in sincerity and in truth. Sin has become so much a part of us that it has infected our fallen nature, our life, and our very soul, and has blinded us to truth. In order to renounce sin and see what is true, we must renounce our fallen nature, our sinful life, and our infected soul. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. As we read in the Gospel of Matthew from our Lord's own lips, the word for life and soul are the same in Greek and in Slavic languages. And the meaning of the word he who finds his life also has the meaning he who keeps his life. So if you keep your old nature, your fallen nature, and you're attached to it, you'll lose your soul and your life. But he who loses his fallen nature will find his true nature in Christ. We have to put off our old nature and put on Christ as we hear at every baptism, as we hear on major feast days that occur around the time when catechumens were baptized. We must also lose our worldly way of thinking in order to find the mind of Christ. We need to stop letting our senses and carnal mindedness control our actions and start keeping Christ's commandments in sincerity and in truth. Christ said in the Gospel of John, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Sin holds us in slavery through incorrect and false understanding. And these false understandings lead us to accept as good what is in essence not good, and delude us into thinking that what is actually bad for us is not. Let us set aside this false manner of thinking that comes from our fallen human nature and from this world, which is at enmity with God. Let us adopt the way of thinking Christ offers us in the Holy Gospels. Let us follow the truth, and we shall inherit the truth. The truth frees the human mind from the invisible bonds of error by which sin has shackled it. Once the omnipotent truth gives spiritual freedom to the mind, it renews it and gives it life, with life from above, with the Word of God, with the Logos of God, with the logic of God. It leads the human mind out of darkness into the light and onto the path of Christ's commandments, as we hear in Psalm 118. Such a soul will surely become a partaker of the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere present, wherever divine truth is present and reigns. In the alphabetical Patericon, St. Pimen the Great explains a verse from the Psalms as the truth speaking of himself. "I am a companion with all those who fear you and with those who keep your commandments." As long as man abides in his fallen nature, immersed in the darkness of his exceedingly deep ignorance, he does not know how he should pray. He does not know what he should pray for, and he is incapable of serving God. Only faith in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and life, gives true knowledge of truth. We truthfully express our faith by fulfilling Christ's commandments with sincerity, and the truthful sincerity of our faith will draw the grace of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Only a true Christian, someone who is a Christian both in faith and in deed, can be a true worshiper of God. Only such a spiritually true servant of God can worship God in spirit and in truth. Christ is risen.